quite a lengthy reading, but we know that even if there's nothing said, the reading of the Word of God is very profitable. Matthew 26, and reading from verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and find them asleep. And said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which was with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant, the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently send me more than 12 legions of angels? And how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And thus it must be. In the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. All this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off at the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servant to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. The high priest arose and said to him, Answerest thou nothing? What is that which these witness against thee? And Jesus held his peace, The high priest answered and said to him, I adjure thee by the living God, thou tell us, whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, henceforth shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory, heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes and saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard this blasphemy. What think you? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, and saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came another to him, and they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Tonight I want to speak on Peter's denial. Peter's fall is a terrible one. Now, I don't think it was probably a sudden fall. It was probably working up. One sin leads to another. And as we give way to one temptation, it often leads to another. It's just like we see a great tree that gets blown down in a storm. Very often inside that tree it's been eaten right out by white ants. And it's in a weakened state and it gets blown over. And probably, same with Peter. Probably he'd been slipping, he'd been backsliding for some time. And this was the last straw. And so we have a lesson to learn. Let us consider the steps in Peter's fall. How easy is this to fall? In verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, now all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He was a man, he was very self-confident. He was trusting in his own strength. He said, I'll never do it. What an impetuous, impulsive man he was. And then in verse 34, our Lord warned him. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then in verse 35, he said, though I should die with thee, I won't deny you. And yet we know how soon he was to go back on these words. This man who loved the Lord so much, yet how easy it is to slip. And when we come to verse 40, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Here was Peter and the others, they were sleeping when they should have been praying. And what a lesson that is to every one of us. Satan finds weaknesses in our armour. He finds an occasion for us to fall. And here was a man at the very time they should have been praying, and here they was, fast asleep. And are we sensitive to his approach? And are we prepared to call on the Lord when we're in times of need? How often we rely on our own strength? We think we can do things, but we know that he who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. If Peter had prayed, he would not have denied his Lord. And then in verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Here these men, they've run away. They were so bold before, but now they're glad to get out of the road. They didn't want to identify themselves with the crucified Christ. He shrank from persecution and suffering. He was not prepared to follow his rejected Lord. He was prepared to follow when everything was going well, when our Lord was doing these miracles. But now when things was bad, we find these men, they forsook him and fled. And in verse 58, that Peter followed him afar off out of the high priest's palace, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He followed afar off. It's good that he followed at all, isn't it? Very often when people backslide, we believe that they should. In John it said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. But the verse before said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Even they follow afar off, we like to see some signs that they are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Peter, he followed afar off. When he should have stood by his master, he returned to see what was going to happen. Here was a man, he was curious. And I'm sure he was sympathetic. But it was only a partial return. He wasn't prepared to go all the way. We read in John 18 and 18, I'd just like to read those verses. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, and it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. In verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said to him, art thou not one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Here was Peter, he was cold. No doubt it was a cold time of the year. Not only was he cold in body, physically, he is cold spiritually. And what a sad state it is when Christians become cold spiritually. And here we find him, not only, but he was fraternizing with our Lord's enemies. He is making out he was one of them. Here he was with these people. He walked into temptation, not considering his own weakness. He warmed himself at the fire of the enemies of our Lord. And this man who was so cold, cold physically and cold spiritually. And then in verse 72, again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. How the mighty fallen. Here was this man who was so close. This man who said he would never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, who would never let him down. And now he denies with an oath. We know how Judas fell. His sin, he coveted for money. We know how Peter, because he feared, this man forsook the Lord. One forsook him for money, but Peter forsook him through fear. In Proverbs 29 and 25 we read, the fear of man bringeth a snare. He was afraid of those whose loyalty to Christ in his rejected state might lead him. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 we read, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because Peter was a true child of God, he is restored and he was used again. Just like with those who have seen a potter and he has a piece of clay and he's moulding it, perhaps he may make and be making some earthen pot. Perhaps something very humble like it is for flowers, flower pot. But he drops it and he becomes soiled. It gets covered in dirt. He has to cut this dirt away and he moulds it again into something beautiful, probably into a beautiful vase. And so it was with Peter. He was moulded again. He is restored to the Lord. And then there's the steps of restoration. In verse 74, then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Immediately the cock crew. When that cock crew, it awakened his conscience. It's a good thing to have a conscience. It's a good thing to have a memory. And this man, now he remembered all that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken unto him. His conscience was awakened. And he became troubled. This was the first step in Peter's restoration. The cock crew and awakened his conscience. It brought him back, brought his memory back to what the Lord's words were to him before the cock crowed twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." God often uses our memory to awaken our conscience and bring the backslider to repentance. And then the Lord turned and looked on Peter. We read in Luke chapter 22 and verses 61 and 62. Luke 22 and verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Here was a sign of true repentance. This man, he wept bitterly. How tender and forgiving the Lord Jesus Christ is to his own. How very, very important the child of God is to our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 5 we read, "He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, our Lord had a private interview." Apparently our Lord spoke to Peter first, before he came to these other disciples. He spoke to Cephas. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Our Lord had a private interview with Peter. We are not told what happened, what he said to him, what went between the two. But we may be sure that Peter poured out his heart in deep contrition, deep sorrow, deep repentance, and deep humility. We know he was graciously restored and forgiven. What a wonderful Saviour we have, one who can forget, not forget, because we know, but who puts our sins behind his back. He doesn't wish to remember them anymore, and he can forgive us so freely because of his death on Calvary. And then we read in John chapter 21 and verses 15 and 17. John chapter 21 So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." It's very interesting to note that Peter denied our Lord three times. And three times our Lord spake to Peter in this manner. He said, "Thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep and feed my lambs." And what a responsibility each one has to be shepherds of the flock. The Lord Jesus Christ loves each one so very, very much. We've been redeemed, we've been purchased with the shed blood of Christ. We've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And every person here, every believer is so very, very important in God's sight. A memory verse in Galatians 6 and 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And how easy it is for people to slip, to fall, to backslide. And what a responsibility we have to do it in a spirit of love. Many years ago I read a book, and I suppose quite a lot here have read this book too, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And in that book he said, praise before we condemn. Before we condemn people, praise them. Because in their past life, no doubt they've done many things that's been pleasing to the Lord. It's so easy to condemn people. And then talk about our own faults before we criticise others. None of us are perfect. If only people could see our faults, perhaps they would say, well, what a hypocrite they are. They're trying to tell us what to do, and they're just as bad themselves. And so it is, we should be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. We should be so diligent in the Lord's business. We must remember that every Christian is important, and we have a responsibility to see any who have slipped away from the Lord, they might be restored. Because the Lord loved them, and he gave himself for them. We were elect, we were foreordained before the foundation of the world. And may the Lord bless these few remarks to each one of us.